There are moments in life where everybody knows the right thing to do, and yet somehow nobody does it. The person is right there, their needs are obvious, the problem is staring everybody in the face, but the conversation for some reason drifts somewhere else, into arguments, technicalities, rules, who's right, who's wrong, what should have happened, what shouldn't have happened. And all the while you're thinking to yourself, can we just help this person please? Can somebody please see the person that's standing right there in front of them? That's the feeling that Matthew 12 creates in us. The disciples are hungry. There's a man with a shriveled hand. The needs couldn't be more obvious, yet the religious leaders seem unable, incapable of seeing it. They're looking at the same situation, but they see it completely differently. The Pharisees see rules. Jesus sees people. The Pharisees see violations. Jesus sees need. The Pharisees see regulations. Jesus sees mercy. And it's in these sharp contrasts that we see the very heart of God. But before we get into Matthew chapter 12, we need to remember where we've been. Jesus has just issued us a great invitation. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. See it again there with me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. When the kingdom of God comes near, the weary get invited. The burdened are welcomed. The restless find rest. But Matthew doesn't leave Jesus' invitation just hanging in the air. He now shows us what it will look like when we come to him, when we come to a gentle king. What does a gentle and humble king do? How does the Lord of rest treat his people? What kind of king do we find when we come? Matthew now answers these questions for us by recording two conflicts, one involving hungry disciples, the other a man with a shriveled hand. And in both these situations, the contrast couldn't be clearer. The Pharisees see rules, Jesus sees people. The Pharisees see violation, Jesus sees need. The Pharisees see regulation, Jesus sees mercy. And that's what this passage is all about. Religion sees rules, mercy sees people. And so when the kingdom comes near, mercy replaces religion. See that with me, won't you? Verse 1, chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. Matthew wants us to see something very simple here. The disciples are hungry. Not rebellious, not defiant, not trying to make some kind of statement. They're hungry. That's the need that we're facing, hunger. But the Pharisees don't see hungry disciples, they see a rule violation. Verse 2, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Can you hear the difference? The disciples are hungry, the Pharisees are concerned about regulations. The disciples have a need, the Pharisees find a legal problem. They see the same situation as Jesus, but they see it completely differently. And that's what happens when religion loses its moorings from mercy. The rules become far more important than the people the rules were made to serve. Now let's be fair to the Pharisees. The Sabbath matters. God gives the Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift, a day of rest, a reminder that God's chosen people don't live as slaves anymore. But the issue isn't that the Pharisees care about the Sabbath. The issue is that they're so focused on Sabbath rules that they've forgotten the purpose of the Sabbath altogether. They've become so concerned with their own regulations that they've lost sight of the person in front of them. These guys have completely lost the plot. And Jesus exposes their blindness. Notice what he does. He takes them to their own scriptures. First to David. David and his companions were hungry, so they ate the consecrated bread. And then he takes them to the priests. Technically, priests work on the Sabbath, yet they're not condemned. What's Jesus doing? He's showing that even in the Old Testament, mercy and human need weren't to be ignored. People matter. And then Jesus says something extraordinary. Look there, verse 6. I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. It's a staggering claim, isn't it? The temple was the center of Israel's worship, the place where heaven and earth met together, where God's presence dwelt amongst his people. And Jesus says to them, something greater than the temple is here. He's talking about himself. But he goes even further still. Look there, verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees think they're defending the Sabbath. They think that they're upholding the law. Meanwhile, the Lord of the Sabbath is standing right in front of them and they can't see him. Verse 7, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Jesus is applying Hosea chapter 6 to these guys. And he's saying, you've missed the point. You've memorized the rules, you've mastered the regulations, but you've missed the very heart of God. God's heart is always full of mercy. My children will tell you that I've always told them that people are more important than things. And yet Jesus is teaching something very similar here. He's saying that people are more important than rules. Not because rules don't matter, but that rules were made to serve people. Not the other way around. Never the other way around. Religion sees rules, mercy sees people. And now that contrast becomes even sharper in this next scene. Look there with me, won't you? Verse 9. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Picture the scene with me. Let's picture it together. A real man. A real disability. A real limitation. A man who's probably lived with this condition for years. Everybody can see him. Everybody knows he needs help. And yet look at what happens. Verse 10. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Do you see what just happened? The man has disappeared. At least in their minds he did. The need is still present, they just can't see it anymore. He's no longer a person. He's become a theological test case. A trap. An opportunity to catch Jesus out. And suddenly we're back to the exact same problem we had in the grain fields. You see, the Pharisees see rules. Jesus sees people. The Pharisees see a debate. Jesus sees a man. The Pharisees see an argument to win. Jesus sees people in need of restoration. And that's the tragedy of religion. At its worst, it's so concerned with being right that it forgets to love other people. And if we're honest with ourselves, that temptation isn't limited to first century Pharisees, is it? It's a temptation for all of us. Because religion says, I obey, therefore I am accepted. My standing with God depends on my performance. My identity depends on my being right. My worth is tied to my obedience. And when that becomes the way that we relate to God, mercy becomes increasingly difficult for us. But the good news of the kingdom says, I'm accepted, therefore I obey. My standing rests on his grace. My identity rests on who Jesus is. When you know that you're accepted by grace, you no longer need to win every argument. You become free to show mercy. That's Jesus. Notice what he does. He doesn't engage in a theological arm wrestle with these guys. He points them to something obvious. Verse 11. If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? Of course they would. Everybody knows that they would. But then Jesus says, verse 12, how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? There it is. People matter. More than arguments, more than technicalities, more than winning debates, more than being right, people matter because people matter to God. And then Jesus does what mercy always does, restores. Verse 13, stretch out your hand. Immediately the man's hand is restored, healthy, whole, new. But the Pharisee's reaction here is astonishing. Look there at verse 14. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. The irony is a killer, isn't it? Jesus restores a man's life. The Pharisees are making plans for Jesus' death. That is how blinding religion can be. It's committed to protecting its own systems, its own institutions, its own culture, its own leaders, that it can no longer recognize the heart of God. Religion condemns. Mercy restores. Religion accuses. Mercy heals. Religion stands over people. Mercy moves towards them. And Matthew wants you to see the difference. Because the heart of God isn't revealed in the religion of the Pharisees. It's revealed in the person of Jesus. And at this point, we might expect this conflict to escalate. Pharisees are plotting, the opposition is growing, pressure is building. So what does Jesus do? Look there at verse 15. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him and he healed all who were ill. I want you to just stop and think about that for a moment. The religious leaders are plotting his death. Jesus keeps healing people. The religious leaders are looking for a reason to accuse him. Jesus keeps showing mercy. Yeah, contrast couldn't be clearer, could it? Matthew wants us to know this isn't an accident. Jesus isn't merely having a compassionate personality. This is the fulfillment of God's very plan. Look there at verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And then Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 42. Listen carefully to how God describes his king. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. Before Jesus does anything else, we're reminded of who he is. He's God's beloved son. He's the chosen servant, the one who perfectly pleases the Father. Now listen carefully to what kind of king he is. Verse 19, he will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. In other words, he doesn't need to dominate people. He doesn't need to crush and destroy his opponents. He doesn't need to win every argument. He doesn't need to shout louder than everybody else. Why? Because Jesus knows who he is. The Pharisees are constantly defending themselves. Jesus never needs to do that. His identity rests securely in his Father's love. Matthew tells us why. Verse 20, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. A bruised reed is already damaged, weak, bent, fragile. A smoldering wick was barely alive. The flame is almost gone, almost finished. What does Jesus do with people like that? He doesn't crush them, doesn't discard them, doesn't finish them off. He restores them. And we've seen that throughout Matthew's gospel. The leper, the paralytic, the bleeding woman, the tax collector, the weary, the hungry, the man with a shriveled hand. The people that everybody else overlooks, the people that everybody else writes off, the people that everybody else condemns, they are the people that Jesus moves towards. Mercy sees people. And here's where this lands for us, because sooner or later, all of us become the bruised reed. All of us become the smoldering wick. The anxious student, the exhausted parent, the grieving husband, the struggling wife, the weary disciple, the follower who feels like a failure. And Isaiah says that's exactly the kind of person that Jesus moves towards. Not away from, towards. You see, religion says get yourself together. Jesus says come to me. Religion says try harder, do better. Jesus says come to me. Religion says you need to earn your place. Jesus says, come to me. And that's why Matthew places this story immediately after chapter 11, because his invitation to you hasn't changed. The weary are still invited. The burdened are still welcomed. The restless can still find rest. The bruised reed is not broken. The smouldering wick is still not snuffed out. Not because Jesus lowers God's standards, but because Christ is full of mercy. And that's good news for people like us. People who are weary, burdened, needing grace. People who need Jesus. Because when the kingdom comes near, mercy replaces religion. Religion sees rules. Mercy sees people. But before we leave the Pharisees behind for another morning, we need to ask ourselves the difficult question. Where do I do this? Where have I become more concerned with being right than with being loving? Where have I become more interested in getting my point across than showing mercy? Where have I become so focused on a principle, a policy, a process, a preference, or a position or a rule that I've stopped seeing the person standing right in front of me? That's what happened to the Pharisees. The hungry disciples became rule violations. A man with a shriveled hand became a topic for theological debate. The need was still there, they just couldn't see him anymore. And if we're honest, we can do exactly the same thing in our marriages, in our parenting, at work, at church, when we're online. We can become so committed to being right that we stop being merciful, so committed to winning that we stop being loving, so committed to defending our position that we stop seeing the other person in front of us. And Jesus says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Not because the truth doesn't matter, not because obedience doesn't matter, but because the heart of God isn't merely concerned with being right. The heart of God is filled with mercy. So this week, before you ask, am I right? Ask another question. Am I being merciful? Before you correct somebody, ask yourself, have I understood them? Before you win the argument, ask, have I loved them? Before you point out what's wrong, ask, have I seen the need that's in front of me? Because that's what Jesus keeps doing. The Pharisees see rules, Jesus sees people. And the disciples of Jesus learn to see the way that Jesus does. The disciples of Jesus need to learn to see people the way that he does. And that's the invitation for us. Not merely to admire Jesus, but to actually follow him. To learn to see people the way that Jesus does. Because when the kingdom comes near, mercy replaces religion. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, will you forgive us for our stubborn and unrepentant hearts that desire to be right over loving, that desire to be accurate and truthful rather than merciful and kind? Would you help us this morning to hear your words to our very core, that you desire mercy, not sacrifice? And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would teach us to be people who are merciful because you are merciful. Forgive us for not seeing the needs in front of us,
Forgive us for when the red mist descends and we only think about what's right. Help us instead to be people who are loving because you are loving towards us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that your mercy and your kindness would be evident in us, not just as people, but as a church. That we would see the needs of others before us. And that rather than moving from them, rather than laying blame and accusation, that you'd help us to learn how to move towards them. Thank you that in your mercy, you move towards us. Thank you that in your kindness you restored and are still restoring us. Help us to be agents of your mercy, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.